Today's daf brought to you from Yohanan'sburg. I know it was Johannesburg, right? Is daf Yudalim. Omer Abaye, Rochvei Gimalim, people who ride on camels, are basically always rubbing their penis. Because the camel, the way they sit, is they're jerking off all day. So these guys are Usr Lechol Truma. And in fact, Tanya Namiyak, it says in the Braita, Rochvei Gimalim Kulam Rishayim. They're all Rishayim, because that's all that they're thinking about all day long. Hasapanim Kulam Tzadikim. The guys that are out in the Yam, and they're like always endangered, they're all tzaddikim, because they're always praying to God, let the ship not sink, let the hurricane not come. So like they can't afford to be too much rishayim. Tell this to the Marines or the Navy. Hachamarim, people that use the donkeys, some of them are rishayim, and some of them are tzaddikim. What defines the difference? Ike de amri hada mikaf hada lo mikaf. The okaf of the chamor, so if it has like a saddle, like a fair on the chamor, which is flat, so then their penis doesn't come into contact with, because that's like, it's hard. They use like a wood-like or a very thick material. So therefore, they don't have a problem. But if there's not an okaf, they're riding these chamorim, the gemalim never use an okaf. You never see a gamal with anything on it. It's always up against the camels. If it's up against the camel, so it's lamaisa going to end up using the camel for arousal. The chamor, it depends whether you've got a saddle or not. The ikere amre, others learn, it depends how you're riding. Ha demitartin vadalomitartin. If you're riding side saddle, so obviously there's nothing sexual about riding side saddle, but if you're riding with one leg across one side and one leg across the other side, why not have fun on the right? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Layat Amandagane Aparkit. He used to curse somebody who would go to sleep and on his back. And he considered that to be the guy's gonna get an erection. And people are going to see he walk into the room, and it's like, what are you exposing yourself for that for? Where others say that since if you're on your back, you may often end up with your hands on your penis while you're sleeping, so you'll end up causing yourself to have a wet dream. Is this true? If you're on your back, so then you should not read Kriyat Shema because it's not polite. It's not derech eretz. But mashma, the only problem is Kriyat Shema. Uda lo yikra. Don't read Kriyat Shema. But if it comes to sleeping, it doesn't say anything about it's being usher to sleep. Ob migna would be shaper dami. Says the Gemara, yes, but the aparket doesn't mean literally aparket. What it means is like this: Leinin migna ki matzli shaper dami. If we're talking about going to sleep, so if you're a little bit on the side, that's okay. As long as you're not momish exposing yourself like that. Leinin kriyat shema, it's even osser if you're a little bit on your side. You gotta read kriyat shema like a mensch. But what do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan used to read kriyat shema like that. He would be in bed. He would turn a little bit to the side, and he would say kriyat shema. Man, Rabbi Yochanan was so fat. For him to be able to stand up or sit up, I said, what do you want for the poor man? So for a shiny Rabbi Yochanan, he's a balbuzzer. He was enormous. But we're talking about regular people that don't have stomachs that get in the way. I mean, if you try to go a little bit to your side, go a little bit more to your side, and be a mensch when you say Kriyat Shema. Even though in the Arsugi, the Rishonim on the Daf, learn that the Prakdan is to lie on your back, and the issues that are involved is either that you cause yourself embarrassment by having an erection in the middle of the night, or some other people may notice, and it's inappropriate to expose yourself in that fashion. Or you may, as Rashi brings one instruction, you may, in your sleep, leave your hands on your penis, and therefore cause yourself actually to have a wet dream. But there's also a Tosfos Pshat, by the way, which is that the begodim that you're wearing, your pajamas, whatever you're wearing, itself, or your recover, may actually arouse you in your sleep. So therefore, you should be on your side. But there's the other pshat by the Oroth, by the Rishonim, that prakdan means to sleep lying on your stomach, which puts pressure on your penis, and that itself could cause an arousal. In any event, there's some interesting historical stories that are going to be. when Shabtai Tzvi announced his status as Mashiach, so the Taz sent his son-in-law to go meet Shabtai Tzvi and to see like what this guy's really about. So son-in-law comes in, and Shabtai Tzvi is like lying on his back. So he writes his five. Well, I immediately knew he wasn't Mashiach, because after all, Mashiach wouldn't be over on the Yisr of being Shochev Praktan, so that was it. I didn't even need to talk to him. But what's amazing is that even though the Rambam paskins this halacha, that Praktan, it's Osir, Lishkev Praktan, in a letter, the famous letter that he writes to Yuri Ben Tivon, which is like such an insightful letter, Bichlal, into what it was that the Rambam was going through and to get a sense of his life. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tibun, who was doing his translations, very much wanted to meet with him and to be able to discuss various issues and to learn with him. So Rambam writes him, I would love to meet with you. I want you to know you're talking about like months of travel, weeks of travel on your part. And you'll come in here, and I'll have all of about 10 seconds to say hello, goodbye. Because you need to understand my life. Wake up early in the morning. I have to be at the Sultan's house, which is 2 kilometers away. I have to be there early in the morning in order to examine him and his family. And then the very earliest I get home is around noon. Nobody ever offers me anything to eat. I'm absolutely starving by the time I come home. I come home, and I'm about to enter. There's always hundreds of people at the door waiting for a doctor's examination. So what am I supposed to eat? So I go in, I grab something for about 2 minutes. That's the only food that I eat all day. Then I see all of these people. By the time they finish, it's the middle of the night. I come into my room. I am so exhausted, I literally cannot speak. I can't open my mouth. That's how exhausted I am. Starving, exhausted. And there I am, lying, prakdan. I'm so exhausted, I fall prakdan, and can't even talk. When am I going to talk to you? That's amazing. This is the Rambam schedule. Another place he writes, the only time I ever get a chance to open up a sefer for a few minutes is on Shabbos. And I don't learn a word all week. It's like horrible. Horrible. But anyway, so everybody, there's tshuvas that bring it up. It's an interesting thing. How could the Rambam write that he lied prakadam? I mean, that's the whole point. So you're not allowed to lie prakadam. So if someone would say that he's using the word lightly, like the Gemara says over here, Rabbi Yochanan would be correct kriyashman prakadam. It doesn't mean literally prakadam, which, by the way, we paskin both, not to sleep directly on your stomach or directly on your back, but always be a little bit on your side. So, I mean, he must mean that he's like Rabbi Yochanan was mitzvitzali. He went a little bit to his side. That's all that it means. It doesn't mean literally prakdan, which is very strange. The Rambam doesn't throw around words. So some actually derive from here, from Lashon, obviously not only from the letter, but from the Lashon of the Psak Halacha, that the issue is to go to sleep prakdan. Because the whole point over here is what will happen to you in your sleep. But to rest prakdan, there's no issue. So you're on the easy chair or whatever, there's certainly no problem in lying back on your back. That's what the Rambam is saying. Like, I can't even get up to go to bed. I just fall prakdan on my chair, which means I'm not ready to go to sleep. But nonetheless, I can't move, and I can't do anything. So that would be the whole point. That would be a deeper pshat. So there's one interesting tshuva that says that was the whole point, that in the context of the letter, he's trying to show Rabbi Yehuda ben Tibun that how insane his situation is. Just like the Gemara said, that Rabbi Yochanan was too weak to sit up properly. He was too weak to even turn to his side. Because you're talking about somebody's half dead. So the Melech was even Shochev Prakdan. That's why he puts in the word Dafka, so he should understand that a trip to say hello, goodbye, is not worth it. No. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, Derech Benot Yisrael. So this is a Mishnah, according to Rashi, it's just simply a continuation of what we were saying before, that an Isha, that's a Sukkah B'Taharot, the Derech is to be Meshamish, only with Eidim. The Rambam has a whole different approach to this. This is a different Shita, this is a din on all women, and so on. Questions of whether Ein Laveset, Yesh Laveset, a very, very complex Shita. But let's follow Rashi's Pshat. And it's simply a hesber of the Mishnah we had before, like the Gemara said. The Gemara asked from this Mishnah later on, about earlier, about Snuites. why it would be only tsnuyos if it's miikar hadin. So the Gemara there, remember, explained that tsnuyos is only a function of having a different clean cloth, but the iker din is equivalent to the original Mishnah. So that's how Rashi learns. So derech benot Yisrael, the general approach is that she always utilizes before intercourse shnei edim, echad lo v'echad la. So there's two cloths that are going to be checked. This is the reference, according to the Rambam, is only after intercourse. That's the point, echad lo v'echad la, and that's a new halacha. So that what we want to find out is post-intercourse whether there was any don. And the tznuot are metak not shlishi, the tznuot have a third aid bedika for use before the takenat abayit to make things clear that she's not a nida before she sleeps with her husband. Again, according to the pshat of Rashi, which we've been assuming all along, there's always two AD, meaning one before and one after. We weren't talking about the third, which is for her husband. Here we're talking about the question, basically this Mishnah is focusing on what the din is of the husband, as we'll see. So that what we look at over here is the question of whether we can ever determine that the husband himself is Vadai Tame, that it slept with the Nida. And that would be the case where he checks his own penis with the aid, discovers that there's blood on him, and the only way that that would happen is if she had been bleeding while it was that he was actually having intercourse with her. So this Mishnah, according to Rashi, is simply focusing on the other sex. That's the main focus. And why does it say, Davka hatznuot mitaknot shlishi mitaknet abayin? That the Gemara already answered. The Gemara said that, no, of course, all women do this, if there are sukkah b'tareis. The difference between the tznuot and the non-tznuot is that the tznuot aid that she was mishtameshet, but once, to check herself, before intercourse, she won't use again. Even if it was clean, she won't use it again. So we said that the paiskim are mefarish, that that's what we were saying. Zehu idan shel tznuim. Because not all bedikas have to be perfectly clean. But the bedika that she used before Tashmish, which she had used it once, so since there will be, because of her arousal, a lot of fluid, that will make the aid dirty, or not perfectly clean, not perfectly white. Therefore, the contrast will be less. And so it's a nua, is more makpedet, to make sure that the contrast is perfect. That's all that the Mishnah is doing. It's just moving on to explain the thing that we didn't concentrate on earlier, which is what the impact of the aid is on her husband. So therefore, continues the Mishnah, Nimtza Shelo, if blood is found on the aid which he has wiped himself off with, then Tumeim. Then we have to assume that clearly both of them are Tumeim. And not only that they're tame, but that there's absolutely no suffix. And we would even be sorry if Truma Vakachim, and we would even be machai of them to bring a carbon under certain circumstances. We have to determine whether this was an ones, and therefore you're not in machayev because it's not a shogeg, or whether there was a reason to be chayesh, in which case it would be a shogeg. That already the acronym speak of the different situations. And the both of them in that case would be the same. There is, by the way, a little bit of a machlokus about how long can pass before the checking takes place. In other words, does this mean like 3 days later he checks himself and finds down? Or do we say, no, obviously it has to be within some reasonable time of the actual intercourse? Okay, that's a machlok. Is there some rishonim that taina that this entire bedika only makes sense if there's still dampish semen? If not, forget it. I mean, so then already it's come from anywhere. We wouldn't say vada on the other circumstance. Nimtza al-shalom, so there we say chayavim korban. Nimtza al-shalah, now let's move on to what the impact would be on the husband as well, where it wasn't found on his own aid. So now, we have to distinguish how immediate the bedika was. And we already spoke about this before, the shiur veset, which here we're calling otyom. Now, otyom, the Rishonim bring, is Greek that has been absorbed into Hebrew for immediately, instantly. So otyom, instantly, if the bedika was done instantly, and of course we know you can't do a bedika instantly, as we explained before, because it takes too much time to do a bedika, it's already beyond the time of instantly. So what it means over here is that she swipes, takes a quick swab, not an actual bedika, b'chorin b'sedakin, but simply wipes herself, finds dam. So then, that's the same thing as his finding. Because the immediacy implies that it must have been that it was been there an instant before. An instant before, he was penetrating her, and therefore he would have been chayav a korban too. So ot yom, both of them are tumeim v'chayavim korban. And remember that we said that ot yom means that immediately upon withdrawal, she swipes. Okay, so that makes sense that we can say that that's within the extended presence, in a sense. There's no time that passes between the two events. Nimsa al shalala achar zman, but if sometime later, again, all of this is going to be defined precisely. Nimsa al shalala achar zman, if some time passes, so then they're both tame, but it would only be mitzad ha-safek. Since it's only mitzad ha-safek, we can't burn truma v'kachin. And furthermore, you certainly can't bring a carbon, because maybe it's chulin ba'azorah. And then we'll talk about the question of what about an asham talui. But here it says p'tur min ha-karban, mashmaut is totally. Now, what do we mean when we say achar zman? That there's no longer a chashash, or no longer vadai turma. We mean if already enough time has passed, k'dei she'tered min ha-mita v'tadich paneha, if the time has passed that she's gotten able to get off of the bed, and tadiach panas, pashtus means to wash her face, but in actuality it's a euphemism, and what it means is that she wipes off the opening of her vagina. So then she's already past this time in which we have the right to say that they're both of them are metame. So after that time, achar kach metame meit leit. Beyond that, we're back to the opening Mishnah. Nishus metame meit leit. We have a machlokes, the Chachomim Rabbi Akiva, as we had earlier. According to the Chachomim, meit leit is only a dinim tum of Tyrus. And it only applies to kachim. Doesn't even, and truma maybe, to Lashon Sarafuna, certainly doesn't apply to her husband. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it applies even to her husband, Lagabi Mitami Misafik. So, Acharkach Mitami Mi'et La'et, but according to the Chachomim, Ina Mitamad Bo'Allah, has no impact on the husband at all. You can see here that that is the focus, basically, of the Mishnah. In other words, the reason we separate things like this is because that's like Derech Benot Yisrael, vis a vis the man who's going to be sleeping with them. This is what they do. What's the din if he finds on his? What's the din if she finds on hers vis a vis him? And so on. So, and then Rabbi Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, even he's coming. So you can see exactly what's happened here. First, we were focusing on the Tyrus, the impact of her as a Metame, just like all the other Metame in Seder Tyrus. Now we've moved on to something specific about Nidais. Now already it's not women. Now it's Benos Yisrael. In other words, that's the point. Dan Haga of Abbas Yisrael, which is the word that we use in terms of relationship to her home. That's the point. So it's a completely different ambience in this Mishnah. So Modim Chachomim Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi, even though Rabbi Akiva, he was talking about the din of Betami Meitzleis with the Bedika. But the Chachomim would be made to Rabbi Akiva when it comes to her finding a ketan on her begadim. And over there she would be Betami et Boala as well. Now the question is, does that mean only from this point forward? Or is there even from the last time that she had checked it, which would mean a bigger chumrah of ketam over ri'iyah, which of course was something that the Gemara raised earlier. Lo te kitma chumur mi ri'ata. And the Gemara, no, on the contrary, because on the ketam, we have this whole idea of, you know, where did this time come from? And if she had looked, how do we know it wasn't there before? She didn't bother looking. Not the same as here, where she would have found the dam. If it had come out, we would have found it immediately. So why should we be chayshish l'mafriya? That whole discussion, we're going to see more of later on in the Gemara. Asks the Gemara, how in the world can you come to the conclusion that you have a vadai tuma and you're going to be over an isser, srefas kachim and truma, you're going to be over an isser maybe of bringing chulin lazara, and you're absolutely convinced that she's vadai tuma just because this guy finds blood on his penis? For heaven's sakes, we know that the whole din of a ketem is defined as the shiur of kigris. It has to be the size of a small coin. And the reason for that is because we say, since genital lice were very common, so the Chachamim were not geyser any kind of assumptions where we have perfectly good understanding of the, where this blood would have come from. You can't say, where would the blood come from? But we often will find stains on clothing and on sheets because you might have crushed a louse. So how do we know that if he found this blood there wasn't also a louse that had gotten crushed on him, because after all, it's all genital area, and genital area were very much exposed to lice. So why don't we say Dilma Dama Cholati, and therefore it's at least a suffix, Omer Rebbe Zera, because genital lice do not penetrate the genitals. They're around the pubic area, but they certainly are not going to come otomakom baduko etzomakolet. That place, in other words, the vagina, is not a place where a makolet will enter, bichlal. It's not a suitable environment for lice. Others say that the lashon isn't that it's baduku, meaning you can be convinced that there is no louse there, but rather it's dokuku etzomakolet. It's not that it's not a suitable environment, it's just that lice have a difficult time penetrating that area, so they'll stick around the pubes, but they won't actually invade the actual vagina. Was there a difference between the two lashonas? Yes. The difference would be, if Lamaisa on his aid, there's not only a blood stain, but aside from the blood stain, and not in the same place as the blood stain, there actually is a crushed louse. So over there, if you're going to taina that otomakom is baduk. Baduk means, look, you know, that came from somewhere else afterwards. But you cannot, since it's not on the blood itself, we're not going to be toloi the dam on that, even mitzad asofik. If you say it's dochuk, so then it's a big difference. Because lach lishna de omar baduku. If it's baduk, so then clearly this loss came from somewhere else. Somi alma atay. But if you're going to tell me it's hard for a louse to find its way in there, so then we could say it could be that his own penetration forced in that louse and actually crushed it, so that he is now finding a blood stain, not a blood stain from nidais, but a blood stain from the louse. But so now, if she was bodeket with a cloth that she had previously checked right before, knew it was clean, then she takes the cloth, after all it's pitch dark, she can't really check it in the middle of the night, she takes the cloth and she puts it against her thigh in a place where it's too far down to be exposed to any bleeding that she might have had from nidais. In the morning she gets up, she looks at it and she finds that there's blood on her thigh. So now the question is, does that have anything to do with the fact that she pressed the aid against it? So now the question over here is why, Tosfos says, if we're worried about her thigh, which is what Rashi says, why don't we just look at the aid and see whether the blood is on the aid? So I said, okay, maybe it's talking about that the aid itself got lost. Or maybe if we find the dam on the aid, since we know we pressed the aid against her side, the question is whether the blood was coming more likely from her thigh and got onto the aid. Others learned that maybe there was blood on the aid and was wiped off. It didn't leave a stain behind it because of fluids and actually ended up on her thigh. Okay, there's different approaches among the different Rishonim how to learn this. But in any event, the question is over here, what exactly would be the din in such a case where we have now an extended time and she's taken from somewhere else? Omar Rav, well, she's actually Tmeya Nida. Tmeya Nida means that it's Vadai. Otherwise, we just say Tmeya. Tmeya Nida means that for all intents and purposes, we view this as a Vadai Tuma, because since Lamaisa was no blood before, she knows for a fact that there was no blood before. There's no way of saying that it came from somewhere else, because this thigh is not a Mokum to find Dom. Therefore, it's a Vadai. Omar Le Rav Shimei Bar Chiya. So Rav Shimei Bar Chiya asked Rav, Rebbe, all along you've been dying. I remember years ago we asked you this question, and you said Chosheshet. You didn't say Vadai Tmeya Nida, and now you're saying Tmeya Nida. Well, Chosheshet Amartan, didn't you tell us Chosheshet? Now Rav didn't answer, because the truth is that Rav has changed his mind. I mean, you know, consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. You know, so I told you, so what? I'm not even gonna answer you. What do you gotta? You gotta make me point out to you? I changed my mind. Now, Itmar Nami, Omar Shmuel Tmeya Nida, and in fact, we find that Shmuel also paskin halacha, it's Vadai Tuma, and everywhere it's become the accepted psak, v'chein morin b'medrasha, Tmeya Nida, that this is not even considered to be a suffix. Now, what about in a case where the aid was Eno Badukla? How about if she hadn't checked it? Now, this doesn't mean it had never been checked. In other words, at one point, you know, it came out of the washing machine, it was clean, and I folded it. Now she took it weeks later. Didn't bother looking at it again. Something might have happened. It might have been exposed to something. She does her bedika, and she puts it inside of a container, not against her thigh. And the container is not going to be exposed to blood. Then she checks. So Rabbi Yossi says, you know, when Rabbi Chia was younger, he was matame. Now, it doesn't say here what that means. He was matame. He's nidavada. He was matame. That we're going to ask. But he was matame. At the time of his old age, he used to be matayer. Now, what does that mean, asks the Gemara Boilu? Do you mean, Kol Yamav, he was Matame, meaning Vadai, and he said it's like Nida, which would be that this is the equivalent of the Psak of Rav and Shmuel in the other case, so that since over here it was in a Kufsa, and originally it had been Boduk, even if it's not Boduk now, there's not enough of a basis to be Chayesh that it picked up blood from somewhere else, if it had once been clean, because it was never exposed to anything on her body, and anything other than a clean container. So he used to think that it was Matame Nida. And leitzik natotier, that would mean leitzik natotier, not that it's completely tar, but that leitzik nato, he meant that it was matir mishum nida. But, I mean, it's still a suffix, obviously, so it's a ketem. A ketem is matame, but it's not matame vada. We're not going to be serful of truba for country. And we're not going to bring a karma. Odioma, or maybe the way to understand it is that, no, there was always a suffix. Even when he was being machmer, he was being matami, but only mitzad a suffix. So he gave it the same din as a ketam. You find a stain on your clothing, you found a stain on an eid bedika. But la'eid zignato, he said, no, you don't even have a basis for that. Because since it wasn't bonuk, you cannot conclude that Rabbanan were not gozer, the dinim of ketam, on something that wasn't bonuk. You have to know that it was clean before you inserted it. Now you can start thinking, where does the blood come? But if you don't have any reason to suppose that it was clean before, what are you asking where the blood came from? Things can get stains on it in a home from many, many things. So then it would be matayer totally. Mivalo klum. Not even mitzada suffix. Do we have an indication of what it was that Rabbi Chia's thinking was? Yes, we do. Tashma, we actually do have proof to this, because the bride goes like this. This exact case. She uses a cloth that she hadn't checked before, immediately before. Puts it into a container, into a can. The next day she gets up and she finds that it's bloody. So Rabbi Omer Tmei Mishum Nida. Their Rabbi says, Vadai Tami. Rabbi Chia Omer, no. It's only Tmei Mishum Keter. Of course, we don't know whether we're talking about a machlokas while he was younger or while he was older yet. So this doesn't prove anything. But look at the continuation. Amar lo Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says to Rabbi, Yata Modesh Tzricha Ki Gris V'Odlok. Do we not agree that we will not be matami this cloth if it's less than a kegris? Because we didn't check it, and lice are found all over. So why in the world would you think that this is blood from her if it's smaller than the size of a gris? There's so many reasons to assume it comes from just a simple bed bug or a louse. Oh, absolutely, said Rebbe. Amar lo, aval, absolutely, I agree with you. Well, then I don't understand, said Rabbi Chia. The din of the size of a kegris is the whole point of a ketam. It's part of the overall takana that if you can't attribute dam to a makolet, then we're going to be machmer, we're going to, where did this blood come from? It must have come from her. But that's a din in ketam. If you're really chayish that it's nida, the slightest amount of blood is matamin. So, I mean, you're being inconsistent. You're saying, on the one hand, I'm giving it the din of a ketam in terms of the shear, but I'm saying it's vadai tami nida. I don't understand what you're saying. Says Rabbi Tim, what's the problem? We don't have Rabbi's words, but we explain Rabbi's svara. The Rabbi svara, Rabbi says like this, look. Just because it's the same shear doesn't mean it's the same din. Obviously, since the aid wasn't boduk before, I have to first establish that we don't have the standard situation in which something could get tummy up to the size of a gris. Not tummy, bloody, up to the size of a gris, right? Fine. So I didn't even look at this stain if it's less than the size of a gris, because that's what I mean by an unchecked cloth. An unchecked cloth means a cloth that is expected to have blood on it, but not blood that's larger than a kagritz. That's the point. Okay, so then it's not even a bedika cloth, as far as I'm concerned. Once we establish that it is clean from that, and now the dam that's found on it is more than a kagritz, okay, or kagritz and more, then already, okay, now let's try to figure out, so what is the din of this thing? I taina, that since lamaisa, we know it was inserted, and since afterwards it was not exposed, so anything was put into a container, and since ultimately at one point it had been known a day before to be clean, so mamela, there I say that once we take it away from the tzad of being the dam of the makolet, the inot kegris vod, obviously, I need that it should be a gris plus, la fuke midam makolet. But once it's beyond that size, given enough of la midam makolet, there, vadai migufa'ata. So now, what else are we going to attribute it to? Okay, now, the language of this discussion, Zatosis learns it, the language of this discussion proves that Rabbi Chiya's opinion, as articulated here, that it's a metame mishum ketem, is his opinion at the time of Ziknuto. Because if it was Bialduto, he would never have said to Rabbi, don't you agree? That's a chutzpah to speak like this. He would have at least said, doesn't Rabbi agree? Or maybe, according to Rashi, he wouldn't have even argued in this fashion, because it's like a setup kind of argument. Well, don't you agree? This is not a nice way to speak. So if he was still Bialduto, he would never have spoken like that to Rebbe. In his old age, he had already arrived at a stage which is communication with Rebbe was already on this level because he was at the time of his greatest chachma. So you could just tell from the tone of the conversation that this has got to mean Myla Bezignuto Koi. And he's saying Bezignuto, when you said Bezignuto, he was Tier. Obviously he's saying, but it's Tamei Mishum Ketem. So mashma that Bialduto, he actually had originally agreed with Rebbe, and he was Timei Mishum Nida. And in fact, Shmami, now that is clearly an indication. We have every right to conclude from the tone of a discussion between Rebbe and Rebbe as to when this took place. Now Rebbe, in context of this conversation, Rebbe once told Rebbe Shmuel by Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Yossi had been Rebbe's Rebbe when Rebbe was younger. He had a great deal of respect for Rabbi Yossi, we see many places. And Rabbi Shmuel was Rabbi Yossi's son. And Rabbi said, wow, you should know, I met this guy, Rabbi Chama Bar Pisa. He's Marmish and Adam Gadol. I was so impressed with him. That's a very dangerous thing, of course, to say. And, of course, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said, let me check him out. When he falls into your hands, bring him to me. So, anyway, so Rebbe persuades Reb Chama Bar Pisa to go visit and talk to Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi. Little does he know that he's walking into a trap. So when he comes, Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi says to him, okay, we're going to find out what you're made out of. Ask me something. And this is the way, always in the Gemara, when you want to, anybody can give an answer, when you want to find out what somebody's made of, you tell them, ask me something. Now we're going to see the way in which your mind works. So, he says, okay, I have a question. This case. So, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says, well, you know, you've got to be a little bit more definitive over here. Do you expect me to answer you according to the approach of Rebbe, or do you expect me to answer you according to the approach of my father, Rebbe Yossi? So, Amalo, Kedivrei Abba Emalach, am I expected to answer you from the context of my father, or Kedivrei Rebbe Emalach? Now, what happened is that Reb Chama Bar Pisa made the mistake of telling him, well, of course I want you to tell me what Rebbe has to say. Rebbe Shmuel Bar Rebbe Yossi did not like that response, and he said, Amar Bishmo, ha! This guy is supposed to be an Adam Gadol, he's an idiot! Who would leave the das of my father, who was the Rav, and ask me for the opinion of the Talmud, who is Rebbe? So clearly he's out of it. Must be he is one of these guys that buys into the, you know, public wisdom. Who do you go ask? Shaila, do you go ask Shaila? He doesn't really know what's going on. So Zeu Shom Rimalav Da Adam Gadolu. Eich Minichin Divrei HaRav V'Shomim Divrei HaTalmid. Reb Chama Bar Pisa held that even though that may be true,
at one point, but once Rebbe became the Reish Metifta, so at that point, when he was the Rosh Hashiva, now everybody was coming to Rebbe, and all discussions and learning were with Rebbe. That exposure led him, Shlichi Rabbanan Kameh, to be Mechada De Shemaita. He became more and more sharp, more and more well-defined, with every passing day, because he had all of this interaction with all the Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, he felt that, halacha l'maaseh, you want to find out what Rebbe's shita is, not what Rebbe Yossi's more theoretical and less defined shita is. Okay, but we never heard of machlokas of Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. What are you referring to anyway? You're taking for granted we know what you're talking about. We don't know what you're talking about. My Rebbe and my Rebbe Yossi. Omri Vada Bar Matna. We have a brayta that says that Rebbe is mitamei and Rebbe Yossi is mitaher. And Rebbe Zera explained that the shita of Rebbe, kishatimei Rebbe, he was following the shita of Rebbe Meir. Whereas kishatiher Rebbe Yossi, when Rebbe Yossi says you don't have to worry about it, he was not following any well-known shita, and that was latzmotiher. That was following his own approach, because we're going to see, should say Tetzan, we're going to see in the Mishnah later, that it says, a woman is urinating. This is a common problem. A woman urinates, and she sees blood. And the question is that blood from a urinary infection, or is it actually uterine bleeding that the urine picked up? So Rebbe Meir says, well, it depends. What was the position of her body? If she was standing and urinating, which obviously for a woman is not an easy thing to do, so then she's unable to urinate directly, because now she's going to catch some of that urine in the folds of her vagina, and some of it may actually back up to pick up a little bit of blood that had come from the uterus, was there in the vagina. It comes out now with the blood, with the urine itself. And it's certainly more likely, urine doesn't usually carry blood, and there's very often blood that the urine may pick up if there's any reason to believe that the urine didn't go directly into the chamber pot. But if she's yoshevet, if she's sitting down, then she's tahora. Rebbe Yossi Omer, ben kachu ben kach tahora. No, I hold, this is my own sheet against Rebbe Meir, I hold that in any event, we would say that she's tahora, because we're not chayish that the blood, that the urine picked up anything else along the way. So this means that if you hold like Rebbe Meir, who's going to say, well, look, if you've got a choice as to where dam came from, you're always going to look at the uterine bleeding as the more likely component. And therefore, even though you have to explain it in a way that the urine backed up enough to be able to pick this up and so on, you're still going to be machmir to be matami. Basically, that's what Rebbe was saying. If Rebbe Meir is ready to say that she's a nida, I'm ready to say that she's a nida based on the same assumption in this case. So it's really the same idea. That you're making the assumption that Rebbe Meir was saying that she's vada and nida. And that therefore when Rebbe said over here against Rebbe Chiya's approach that she's Vada Yanida, and against Rebbe Yossi's approach, that's why he was following Rebbe Meir. The problem is that Rebbe Yossi by Rebbe Chanina was quoted as saying that Kishetime Rebbe Meir lo time ala mishum keta, that it's wrong. Rebbe Meir was being metame only mitzad ha-safek, and he's saying that this situation is not less than finding blood on her begotten. So you find blood in the urine, you find blood in the baguette. So we'll give it a din of the chumra of a keta. But he certainly was never suggesting this svara. Well, if you've got two possibilities, we're always going to assume vadai that it's going to be bleeding from the uterus. Vil Rebbe mishum nida kama, you're claiming that Rebbe's following Rebbe Meir shita. But in fact, Rebbe Meir was never saying anything like Rebbe. Omar Lay says, well, you know, that's your version. Anan Hachikar, meaning our version is the Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Chanina said, Kishatime Rebbe Meir, Mishum Nida Tima, and Kiit Marayim, Mishum Nida, and not Mishum Ketet. Then the Mishnah says, okay, if we find blood on her bedika, now it becomes a function of time. So if it's otyom, if it's instantly, then it's tameim. Now, as we saw earlier, Tana Rabbanan, and we had this yesterday, ezeu shiur veset, when we talk about what is that shiur, that shiur is mashal l'shamash ve'echem limitzad ha-mashkof. We are basically talking about a murder scene. The butler goes in, is the shamash, The witness is standing at the edge of the door. The butler walks out. The witness walks in. And now we know who committed the murder. Yitziat Shamash Nichnasa Eid. So that's basically what happens over here. In this case, the butler is the server, which is his penis. The aid is the piece of cloth, which he's using to check. He's calling an aid. And the butler comes out, the witness goes in. Now we know who committed the murder, meaning that there's blood here. It's obviously blood that's coming from Nidai's, very cute marshal. Not that anybody else understands it this way, but it's definitely as a marshal.
The art scroll doesn't trump.
No, the art scroll doesn't.
That's right.
No sense of you.
No sense of you. Yes. Okay, so that means that by definition, as we saw day before yesterday, Veser Chamru is the Kinuach of a Lola Bedika. By definition, there would be no way that you could manage to do a Bedika in that short time. It must be that we're only talking about that she takes a wipe just outside of her vagina, and that's what we're talking about. But once she would already do a Bedika, forget it, because then by definition, too much time has passed for us to be able to be Metame Vadai. Then we say Nimtza Shalala Acher Zman, but beyond that time, again, this is the simple meaning of it. We're going to see now. We're going to play a lot of games with this Mishnah. Nimtza Shalala Acher Zman. So then he's parted from a carbon. Hey, what? When parted from a carbon? Parted from a chatas? You mean right? Because I mean, like it says in the Braita, but you're chayav and Hashem talui because maybe you slept with Anita. There's good grounds to think maybe you slept with Anita. And in fact, it says in the Braita, you bring an Ashram Talui. Ah, says the Gemara, so why indeed? It's clear our Mishnah doesn't hold that. Because our Mishnah says potter. Potter means potter. From any carbon. Why is that? Ma tana dinan my tana. Because our tana goes according to the Shita that we just had in Kritut, that chaticha mishte chatichot be'ina. Only time you have an Ashram Talui is not where I might have slept with Anita. That's not the point. The point is, you want to say a case, I'll give you a case. And that's case in Kritut. You have two women. You sleep with one of them. You don't remember which one you slept with. One of them was Anita. One of them wasn't Anita. So there you have one woman out of two. And over there, it's Isura. That was what. There were many reasons for that. Either because we're Darish the Pasuk. Remember, how do you read the Pasuk? Achat, Mechatat. Or whether it's just simply as far that if you have Chatich, then it's Hulzaka Isura. So if it's Hulzaka Isura, then the Torah relates to it seriously. But maybe? I mean, maybes aren't enough. Say, well, what's the difference between one maybe and the other maybe? Because maybe was something that is extant already that I'm machmir on. Maybe the thing existed, or maybe it didn't exist. I mean, why would we make an assumption of Anita existing at all here? So our Tana holds, if you don't have a chaticha b'shtei chatichot, which you don't have over here, there's one woman, maybe it was Anita, maybe it wasn't Anita. That's not the thing that you bring an Ashram Talui for. Okay, now you said, what defines achar zman? So in other words, what we have is instantly. Okay, we know what instantly means. Butler and witness. Then we could say, and after that. No. It's not and after that. And after that, but before the next year. So in other words, we have that middle time that's acher otyom, but is not the time that we're ready to talk about mi'at late. So we have three stages. Instantly is matam mechantas. After that time is metame, and we don't know how long that after that time is. After that time is metame mitzad ha-safek, and according to our Mishnah, your potter of any carbon, according to the Braita, your chayav and Ashram Talui. After that, then she's just a regular problem of the derabbanan takana of metame mi'et le'et, and then we have machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan as to whether she would be metame et bo'ala at all. Okay, now the after that time is defined over here by the amount of time, says the Mishnah, that it would take her to get off the bed and to wipe herself. The problem is that we have a braita that says, V'raminu, ezeu achar zman, what defines that time of achar zman? Pirish Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, kedei shetoshit yada tachat hakaro tachat hakeset, v'titol eid v'tivdok. The amount of time that it would take her to put her hand under the pillow or under the blanket where she had set the eid bedika, take it, and check herself. And even though it says tivdok, l'mais, it's clear from the Gemara that that means take a swipe, not to do an actual bedika. So it must be the Gemara knew that that was. Otherwise, there'd be no problem, because then we could have said, okay, one is talking about doing a bedikah, so it's not a contradiction. One shear was the shear of a bedikah. The other shear was the shear of just taking a swipe, because it says v'tadiach padeh. So, but the Gemara doesn't say that. So clearly it knew that it's the same shear. So how do you explain the fact that this seems to be a different amount of time? Omer of Chista, well, because this is yet another shear. There's the shear of Otyon, there's the shear of Acher, then there's the shear of Acher Acher, and then there's the shear of the norm. So this is Acher, even though he said Ezu Acher, he meant Ezu Acher. He meant Ezu Acher Acher. That's the point. So when we're talking about the shear, this long shear in the Mishnah, where it says Acher, wasn't referring to the same Acher the Rebbe Elazar Ber Tzadok was talking about. He was talking about the shear immediately after Ot Yom, which the Mishnah leaves out. And later on, we're going to say that the Mishnah is Chisuri Mechasya. And he's talking, and the Mishnah is talking about yet a later shear of Acher Acher, where we're out of the running completely. What are you talking about? The Mishnah says Beferish on this year. It says Nimza Shalala Acherzman Tmei Misafik Turim in our carbon. And what do I mean by Acherzman? How could you possibly take a Mishnah that says? And what do I mean by Acherzman? Kidei Shiterid Min Amita V'Tadiyah. But I say no. That, it's not really defining what I was talking about. That's refining yet another shear. Come off it, man. It says Kidei Shiterid Min Amita V'Tadiyah Paneah. No. The Mishnah is Chesur and Mechasur, basically. The way to read the Mishnah correctly is to insert the bride of Rebbe Elazar Ber Tzadok. And therefore, you really have to read the Mishnah like this. Hachikam. Ezeo Acherzman, when we talk about after the Ot Yom, Acher, that goes up to the time that it would take her to be Toshit Yadat Tachat HaKal Tachat HaKesed, to take the aid from under the pillow. And that's Acher. And then V'titol Eid V'tivdoku, meaning to take a wipe. But if, continues now the Mishnah with our Lashon, but if we're already at the point where, which is after that year, so if you're already past that point, then we get to the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva v'Chachomim about a normal woman is Ra'a Me'et L'Yet. Between the time that it would take to be picking the eight from under the pillow and doing Bedikah, so let's say that would be 3 seconds. And the shear of Kadesh Tered Ben Amita V'Tadiach Paneah, which would be 6 seconds. So between that period, there would be an agreement of the Rabbanan that there we would be Metame Et Bo'ala Mitzara Safek. And the Machlokas only comes into being after 6 seconds. So in other words, we have the 1 second, which is instantly the Ot Yom. We have between 1 second and 3 seconds, which would be the Acher. And then we have the 3 seconds and the 6 seconds, which would be an agreement of the Rabbanan that will be Mahram by Allah. And then beyond 6 seconds, we come into the Machloka, because she's a normal woman who is Ra'a Me'et L'Yet, whether it's 3 days later, 6 seconds later, then it already doesn't make any kind of difference. So then, Machloka Rabbi Akiva Chachami. But I understand the Mishnah says, Acher kach, after that, she's metame me'et le'et, and is not metame et ba'ala. So that what that would mean is that once she's beyond that shear, then there is no question. No. Okay, come on. V'zehu acher kach shenech l'ko Rabbi Akiva v'chachomi. Not that this is acher kach, meaning after that shear, but rather this additional shear, when we're saying beyond that, is beyond this later shear, then we get into the machlokas. Not that up till that shear is the machlokas. Beyond this shear is the machlokas. This is the word acher kach that they were arguing about. Not the acher kach that we were referring to in the Mishnah. Not acher kach as defined before, but acher, this acher kach, after this last point that I'm mentioning now, Kadesh Yeter Min Amita V'Tadeh Et Paneha, beyond that, is the new Acher Kach, where we have a machloket in which it now no longer matters how much time has passed. We're basically at the normal case of an isha that was Rei Adam, Ishi Metam L'Mafreya, or not. Whereas Rav Ashi says, I don't know what's bothering you guys. What makes you think that there's another shear and you're doing all of this fancy surgery on the Mishnah? Because Rav Elazar Ber Tzadok says, the amount of time it takes for her to get an aid, why does that have to be a different time? Maybe we're just giving different mishalim. So a woman wants to make a bedikah rapidly. She keeps the eight in her hand, okay, lowers her feet to the ground, and wipes herself. Fine. What if she's not holding the eight in her hand? So then the same shear is essentially, put your hand under the pillow, find the eight, but don't get off of the mita and wipe yourself. That's the same thing. One is talking about just an example where she's holding the eight to do the bedikah. One is talking about where she has to find the eight. The difference in the additional 2 seconds that it takes to find the eight is the difference of holding an eight and putting her feet down. So that's the difference between the 3 second and the 6 second. So what's the big deal? I mean, the 1 second and who's to say there is another shear? So I say, looks all one thing. Aid biyada. So if we're talking about her holding an aid, so then kadesh tered min amitavata diachet panah. But if ain aid biyada, then it's kadesh toshit yadala tachata karla tachata keset vititol aid vitivdokbo. And therefore, I don't understand on what basis we are inserting a whole new piece of the mission that didn't appear there, and a new area in which was agreement between the Chachom and Rabbi Akiva that isn't even mentioned in the Mishnah with the Chachom and Rabbi. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambient, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. So, a good Matzah Shabbos Kedesh to you all. The beginning, beginning of Chol. Abaye, I mean, sorry. And we're up to Rochei Omer Abaye then. Is that correct? The bottom is Yud Gimel on the base. The base Daf is Daf Yud Dalet. Omer Abaye, Rochei Gimalim Asrim Lechol B'Truma. People who ride camels all the time are considered to be usher to eat truma because the assumption is that there's always some ejaculation because of the warmth of the rubbing of the camel against their genitals, and therefore we assume that they're actually going to be usher for truma. Tosfos asks that isn't mamais in order to be metame, the zera is not metame unless it was actually ejaculate. The mashmaut over here is the person didn't know that he was tummy. It's a little difficult to imagine a case in which he would become tummy without knowing that he was tummy. So look, it could be that he's, you know, just so used to it. Actually, he forcefully ejaculated. In other words, it would have to be orgasmic ejaculation. Only that's mitzamei. Maybe it was lavadait. didn't pay attention. Tani nami hachi rochvei gemalim kulam rishaim. Lomashim, because they're not makbid over here on Hotzad Zeralavatala. Hasapanim kulam tzadikim. People who go out for long sea journeys because of the terrible storms and dangers that they meet are always turning their hearts to God to save them. You know the old story of the woman and the captain. You know. And there was a storm out at sea. This woman was used to eat with the captain at the table. So there was a big storm, they're sitting down to eat, so she asked the captain, Captain, how are things? So the captain says, Madam, trust in the Lord. So she says, is it that bad? Sapanim are always tzaddik. Hachamarim, mehem reshaim, mehem tzaddikim. So chamarim, those would be people that ride chamurim. It depends basically how they ride. Some of them could be tzaddikim, again, because of the fact that they go on the road, and others are rishayim, once again, because of the stimulation of riding that causes them not to be makbid on ejaculation. Ikedi amri, some learn the difference between how to make kefadolo makaf. It depends whether they ride wearing a saddle or not. So Gemalim, the derech is that everybody rides without a saddle, and therefore it's mechamein. Mashenk, if there's a saddle is hard. It's something that doesn't cause chimo, and therefore isn't stimulating. Or the other pshat is the martutin or the lo maratin. Depends if they ride the way men usually ride, with one leg to one side, one leg to the other side.
in which case they expose their genitals to stimulation, or if they ride mitartin, which is the way a woman rides, there's both legs, side saddle. Over there, of course, that negea stimulation at all. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi layat amandagani aparkit. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to curse out people who would lie. Most of the Rishonim learn that aparkit means on one's back, directly on one's back. There is an oruch that talks about aparkit meaning face down. Now, in the sugis over here, it seems pretty clear from Rishonim we're talking about face up. Now, there's a number of different approaches to what the problem would be with aparkit. Rashi learns the main problem is simply a question of human dignity. Because in his sleep, if he gets an erection, it'll be visible to others and it's embarrassing to him. However, I mean, this Tosfos disagrees because he says, I mean, it's a mashma on the way he sleeps. I mean, he's sleeping alone or he's in a dark place. Why would there be hakpoda and kavod habrias? Therefore, there's a number of different pshatim, all of which, again, related to the sugya before, which has to do with the sexual stimulation. So according to the Rashbam, it's because if he's sleeping face up, so then his covers basically will stimulate him. Or others learn there's a gilyon that says that the warmth itself against the spine is connected to sexual stimulation. Perhaps yes. And others learn there's a Rashi that says that the here brings here, another place doesn't bring, but here it brings a second reason, which is that when he's sleeping face up, he will oftentimes, without thinking, his hands will be on his genitals, and as he sleeps, he could also come to stimulation. So he was makbid on anybody who would sleep in that position. Ah, yes, to the Gemara Vomer of Yosef, praktan leikra kriyat shema. Here, Rabbi Yosef says someone who is sleeping in that position should not say kriyat shema in that position, which is mashma. Kriyat Shema de lo yikra. Apparently, there's no problem in sleeping on one's back. It's just that it's not kavod to be lying flat on your back and reading Kriyat Shema. It's a casual exercise. Your Kabbalah is Malchus Shemayim. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi apparently is wrong based on this. It says the Gemara. No, there's a big difference because when it comes to sleeping, the inyan magna kimatzli shapir dami, the inyan kriyashma kimatzli asur. When it comes to sleeping, if you're a little bit off of your back, somewhat facing the side, then there's no hakpada. But when it comes to kriyashma, it doesn't help to be somewhat to your side. You need to have turned completely to your side in order for it to be kavod for kabbalat malchut shamayim. But Rabbi Yochanan was matzli v'kari kriyat shema. Rabbi Yochanan stayed only slightly. He turned a bit and read kriyat shema. He didn't think that that was maguna. The way you're learning, that too is maguna. Because you're saying praktan, literally flat out on a back, is hoser even for sleeping. Praktan, that is matzli, is okay for sleeping, but not the kriyat shema. In which case, how do you explain Rabbi Yochanan's behavior, who was matzli, basically he's a praktan, but he was somewhat to the side. How could he say kriyat shema? Shiny, Rabbi Yochanan de Baal Basar. We know that Rabbi Yochanan was quite weighty and had a rather large stomach. It's not enough to take his home.
That's right.
You take his seat.
I'm sorry.
This is outrageous. That's right. So how Rabbi Yochanan, because of the fact that it was so difficult for him to turn to his side with the weight that he was carrying, it was not considered to be a gnutz to the Kriyat Shema to read the Nabas. It was clear that he was doing his best. He was turning to the side, and he was trying to.
They don't mess sick people.
No. Just people gone to bed. You're not saying Kriyat Shema in your bed. You say Kriyat Shema sitting up before you go to bed. You're supposed to say Alamita. So Alamita means on your side. Rabbi Yochanan couldn't get to his side. He's too fat to get to his side. So over there, it's not considered to be a gnut. He's doing his best, and he's turning, and it's clear that he's being mechabed the Kabbalah so Malchus Shamayim. Derech benot Yisrael mishamshot b'shnei edim. Echad lo v'echad la. Now the truth is that we discussed this briefly in the first parak, and there's some machlokas we've shown him whether we're to see the Mishnah here in the same context. You will recall earlier that the Mashmaut HaSugya was that only a woman who is Asuka B'Taharot has to concern herself with the question of whether she might be Roa Dam, Machmat Tashmish, and so on. It's where generally we're not gozer. At least this is Rashi's approach throughout. Generally we're not gozer for a woman to discover whether perhaps she would be Tameya vis-a-vis her husband. We're only gozer in terms of Taharas, which is rather shocking. Why would that be? This actually the Rebbe Kivager asks. If we're learning like Rashi, Bishleim all of the cases that we had until now, which is the Shaila of whether we're going to be Matami Mies Lies. You know, okay, you could say we made a Gezerah because of the Chumrah of Tyrus. I mean, there's no practical implications in retroactive Tuma of the Baal. But here we're talking about checking herself before intercourse. I mean, that certainly would seem to be more makbid on Big Batami, her husband, than we should only do it for Tyrus. So Reb Kivager's explanation of this is very straightforward. There is two completely different dinim of Tumas Dam, as we'll see later on in the Masechta. Dam that a woman doesn't feel is not Matame her husband. The din of being a Nida is different than any Hafrashat Dam that comes from the Rechem. In other words, it's possible to have Hafrashat Dam for the woman to be Matame, in the sense of being Matame Tyrus, or to be Matame her husband, but not to be Matame as an Isser Nida. There's no Isser of sleeping with a woman who is Roa Dam. The Isser is sleeping with a woman who is going through Yemei Nidot Dvota. That means to say that there has to be a Hargasha, there has to be a feeling of this being a period, not just a bleeding. In which case, all of the associated menstrual symptoms are part of it, including the feeling of the Dam that's coming out. If we're going to detect Dam by doing these kind of things here, checking it, that's not going to be Matan husband anyway, Midiraisa. All of those are dinim that are included in the Gezerah of Ketem. In the Ketem we say she definitely must have bled. But that's really only the Rabbanan in terms of a husband. Because why didn't she know that she bled? So obviously it's not Nidot Vota, it's just bleeding. Bleeding can be Matame, but it's not going to be Matame for the Baal. Therefore, says Reb Kivager, when it comes to the Chumrah of Tyrus, we have to be concerned for blood qua blood. But when it comes to Aser for husband, even if we would find Dam, it wouldn't have been an Issa D'Oraisa. And Mamela, we're not makbid to go out to see if she was Tamea.
Isn't another Indian of not wanting to push the Baal away?
No, that was why when we make it that covenant for Tyrus, don't we also do something that would scare away the Baal? That's a different issue. But here the question is, according to Rashi, if we're worried about a Riyaz Dam, then we're talking about Mies Leis, so a person's always going to feel, I mean, it's ridiculous. You never know. I'm going to retroactively find out I was sleeping with a need. I mean, that we're not going to do. But here the Shaila is to prevent such an event. And I said, well, why aren't we makbid before? Okay. So this is how we would have to understand Rashi. Now the truth is, there are other Rishonim who disagree and say that the Mishnah that we're learning here is not the same sugi that we were talking about before, and that here we're talking about an Isha that has no vest. This is Rabbi Yochanan's approach. A woman who does not have a veset kavua is clearly open to more than hormonal influences. In other words, it's more than a built-in clock that will bring menses, and therefore we are concerned for other stimuli. Because otherwise, we would have settled into some type of circadian system in which the hormones would be controlled by time, by the movement through time. Since over here that's not the case, we have to be choshesh for other stimulants. Sex is one of those stimulants. So therefore, before intercourse, we want to check her. Because it's possible to be choshesh that maybe now she'll be rowing up. But an Isha Sheyeshla Veset, we don't have to be afraid of. Therefore, we didn't make a takana for her. On the Rabbi Nochanano's approach, there's a run, which everyone is so mechan, which is that even an Isha Sheyeshla Veset, according to Rabbi Nochanano, with like whom we're makbid, La Halacha, that once it's established three times that she was not Rayadat Makbastashvich, we don't have to continually check all the time, maybe this time she will be Roya Malach Pistachio. But then there's a third Shita, which is the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita has nothing to do with the Yesh Laveset or Ein Laveset. It's one of the dinim of Tashmish per se, the Rabbanot Yisrael, that Chazal were in fact mitakein always to check immediately prior to intercourse to see whether there was any done. According to him, there would be no way out. As Rambam says, that we're simply not knowing. People aren't knowing to be mashper like the Rambam. So with the Rabbeinu Hanano in the middle, the approach generally that's taken is the approach of the Ram. So the Mishamshu Pishni Edim Echad Lo Ve'Echad La, so that he would check himself, obviously, post-intercourse, Ve'Echad La, and Hatsnuot Metaknot Shlishi L'Takenet Abayit, again, according to Rashi, this is consistent with the Gemara earlier, Tsnuot, meaning everybody has an Eid Shlishi, but there's Bedika before and Bedika after. What it's talking about over here is that Hatsnuot will utilize a completely new aid for each bedik, or at least for each tashmish. That's a question whether it means that there were two separate aid, even before and after. Remember that an aid simply means a piece of cloth. We call an aid. So echad lo ve'echad la, and then there's a shlishi, meaning tznuot, that a clean shlishi, l'takenat abayit, which would mean to check prior to tashmish, in order to make sure that she's tahira leba'ala. Nimtza al shalo. Now, if he discovers any blood after wiping himself off, then obviously we have to assume that both of them are tmeim. It's not normal for a male to have blood on his genitals. The assumption is it must have come now from this intercourse, in which case we know that she had been bleeding at the time. And if that's the case, then they would be chayavim bekorban. Now, actually, the Gemara will explain later on that bleeding bishas intercourse does not require a hargasha, because we assume there was a hargasha, but that the hargasha was confused with the hargasha of the tashmish itself. And that's why here we say that there was a chiyuv of a karva. And the truth is, a bedika, we also have this issue. These are all things that we'll investigate later, in that the penetration of a bedika, remember there's a big difference between a bedika and a kinua, as we saw before, Lagabi Otion, in the first parak. So a bedika is penetrating, and therefore it's also similar to tashmish, and can easily be confused. It might have been a momentary sensation of bleeding, which wouldn't have been clear whether it was the sense of penetration or was the sense of bleeding. So there too, a bedika is also considered to be dam midioraita. So in this case, if we find blood on his aid, then it doesn't matter even if that was found later, because obviously it had been there bishas tashmish. Therefore, both of them would be tmeim. When we say both are tmeim, we mean tmeim shiva, because a bayal nida is tmeim shiva also. And they would be chayav in a korban, meaning a korban vadai. Nimtza al shalah. How about if they were found on the aid of the woman? So then, otyom, so here's this word otyom, Rashi and others bring, is the Greek for immediately. I asked Bat Nadiv to look it up tonight, and we found in Plutarch, the word is used to mean inseparable times, something that can't be cut up any further. So then it would be the equivalent of instantly. So that would be consistent with Rashi's approach over here. The particularly Aruch, he has a slightly different pronunciation, which may make it easier to trace to the Greek. But in any event, in the Hebrew, it became shortened to simple word otyom. And otyom means instantly. And we saw later on what that means. We're going to see later today again what we mean by instantly. So if it was instantly, then the assumption is that they're both tmeim. V'chayavim bekorban. Nimtzal shalalach zman. However, if it was liachar zman, it wasn't immediately, then tmeim misafek. And peturim ben akorban. Then the whole thing would be a suffix tumah, And you couldn't be mechayivim a carbon. Now later on we'll see that it's a machlokas. If, when it says p'turim min ha-carbon, it means completely, even from an Hashem Tolui, or it means p'turim min ha-carbon, meaning a vadai, but you're still chayiv an Hashem Tolui, because maybe he slept with a nida. Obviously, it's dependent on the machlokas that we had back in Kritut. Do you bring an Hashem Tolui on any place where you're misupak, if you did an aveira, or do you only bring an Hashem Tolui when there were shtei chatichot, one of heter and one of iser? In this case, there's not shtei chatichot. There's one woman. Either she was asur, or she was muteret. And therefore, you wouldn't bring a asham talui according to that mandiyama.
Why is it any different achrizman?
Because then we could say that the bleeding took place immediately post intercourse. So why would we be metame them for, or why would we asur? I mean, why would we mechayev them a korban? They didn't sleep together, but iser.
She checked achrizman.
Yeah, no, she didn't check until after that Ot Yom period, which we'll discuss. The question over here, by the way, I mean, not here, but we had in Shavuos, I mean, why would there be a Chiyuv Bichlal, even in the first case? I mean, it's not his fault. Why isn't this an onus for both of them? It's nobody's fault that she happened to become a Nida in the middle of intercourse. Now, the Gemara over there, you will recall, answers that it's talking about that it was Samuch Levesta. He should have been Poresh some of Vesta, and he didn't, and both of them should have, and therefore it's considered to be a shogeg and not an ones. There's a big question here, according to the Rambam, because the Rambam learns that this is Mi'ikar HaDin, this Bedika, on any woman, famous Kasha in the Rambam, but if you would, why does, according to the Rambam, the Gemara should simply have said, it's not considered to be an ones, because he should have done the Bedika, and he didn't, because this was the Kiev. Okay, I mean, it's all types of discussion. You see, it's fascinating. Now, it's a Yiddish Chiyuv of Korb. Now, when we say, says the Mishnah, that it's Acher Zman, what do we mean? Zeru Acher Zman, Kedesh Tered Min Hamita V'Tadiyak Paneha. The Shear of Acher Zman is that she isn't Bodeket immediately, but rather she gets off of the bed, and then wipes herself off with this cloth, and finds blood on the cloth at that point. That's too much time. That's not considered to be an Ot Yom, that's the Achrizman. Acher Kach, after that time, she would be only Metame Mi'et Le'et, like anyone else. And any Isha that's Metame Mi'et Le'et, 24 hours back, like we had in the first parak, is not Metame as Bo'alah, because this was only a halacha about Taharot. Again, when it says it's not matam is bo'alah, it means it's not matam is bo'alah ki ilu that he's a bo'el nidot. But he's certainly going to be tummy like touching her. I mean, she can remember she's matami mishka v'moshav. Her mishka v'moshav is matami yodam. Koshkin, her nigiyah is matami yodam. But that's a regular tumor of 20, you know, a maximum of the whole day, and then he's tahor that night. Furthermore, it has no implications in terms of their relationship to the matam is bo'alah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Af Betamid Bo'alan, this Rabbi Akiva sheet we had earlier, that according to Rabbi Akiva, any Isha that's Metame Mi'et Le'et is Metame also, not only Taharot, is also Metame Bo'alan. Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Akiva, Beroe Keten, the Chachamim are Moda to Rabbi Akiva, that if she finds a Keten, that then she is Metame as Bo'alan. Now that's a Machlokas. Whether this means, because remember, by Ketem we have a completely different question. Because we say, look, she certainly, Beshuk Shatabachim Lo Avra. You know, in other words, Ketem by definition is only where there's nothing else to be told of the blood on. So, Dam Zeme Echam Ba. I mean, obviously it must have come from her. Shaila is, do we say, there's a machlokes, when we say, Modim Chacham Rabbi Akiva. Do we mean that they're made up, that she's matami as bo'ala l'mafreya, l'mafreya in this case being up until the point that she had checked this piece of clothing and it was clean? Nothing to do with mi'es li'es, it was a different issue, Keta. Or does it mean that modim chacham l'Rabbi Akiva, that from this point onwards of the mitziyat ha-ketem, even though ketem is only the rabbanan, that they were gozer to be matami as bo'ala from now on? But certainly not retroactively. This is a shaila, we'll get into this, so we'll talk. Says the Gemara, why are we so certain? I mean, we know that when it comes to the dinim of Taharot, in terms of Ketem, we are makbid that dafka, the shear of a Ketem, has to be larger than the shear of blood that you would find crushing a bedbug. Because, you can't make someone tame based on finding dam if that dam could have come from somewhere else. So in this case, when we know that we're talking about small shiurim of dam, talking about over here doing a bedika, any dam that you find would be matame. So why aren't we nechush dilma dam ma'acholati? Why do we not have to assume? Are you telling me that we're vadai tame, meaning we're going to burn truma, and we're going to bring a carbon which may be chulun lazara? Why do we have to be cheshish that the blood that was found was the blood of a ma'acholat, was the blood of a kinah? I mean, it could be anything that might have created this dot. Omar Rabbi Zera otom makom baduku etzo ma'acholat, v'ikidi amri dochuku etzo ma'acholat. Actually, says Rabbi Zera, you will not find around the genital area any such kinim. And others say you will not find dochuk, in other words, you won't find entering into the genitals any kinim. There's a difference between those two, might be now. Of course there is. The question is like this. I mean, if you're telling me you don't find a ma'acholet around the vaginal area, so then if afterwards you will find on this aid a ma'acholet ritzufa, you find actually a crushed bed bug. And now it's not, however, right next to the dam, but it's on this aid. So the Hakmi Baduku, if you're going to tell me that we know there could not have been a ma'acholet there, then this is simply coincidental. Homi alma atay, it came from somewhere else. But lahak lishna diyamba dochuku, if you're telling me it's dochuk, all you're telling me is that you will not have penetrating the genitals, you will not find the ma'acholet. But over here in this case, it's certainly possible, since we find the aid has a ma'acholet that's crushed on it, it's possible that shamash ritzpah. So in other words, you might have actually forced, at the moment of penetration, you might have penetrated together with the ma'acholet, crushed the ma'acholet, which accounts for the blood. And now we should say that we do not have a vadai bleeding. Now that would be a nafkamina. Itzma. But kanta eid habadukla, v'tichato b'yirecha, ulumachar matzah alehadan. Suppose she checks the aid, and this aid had been checked previously and it was clean. She now rubs it against her thigh. Tomorrow she finds, now this big machlokas we're showing you, Rashi learns, tomorrow she finds on her thigh, where she had touched herself with this aid, she finds blood. But the aid, as Tosis explains, is no longer around. She lost it. So we cannot check. This is how Tosus understands the Pshat and Rashi. And the question now is, shall we say that the dam that was on the Yerech came from the aid, or shall we say that it has its own source? Omarav t'me'anida. Too much of a coincidence to say that there's blood dafka where she touched herself with the aid, that it should have come from somewhere else, and she's t'me'a. Amale Reb Shimon Bar Chiya, v'choseshet amart la. You always used to tell us that she has to be choseshet, but not that she's vadai tmei'a. Now the Gemara doesn't do anything with this question. And the Ritva explains that indeed that was true. In other words, Rav accepted the fact that he had earlier in his life learned that this was a suffet, and that he had changed his mind, so he didn't respond to it. He had become more machaber in his old age on this problem. The Rabbeinu Hanano learns that, so there's a lot of variation, something like the Rabbeinu Hanano in the Rishonim. He learns that the pshat of a year is, he has a different year set. Matzah, not matzah, the case that we have is that she finds aleha dam, which is mashma on yirecha dam. He learns the pshat is that she touched her, in other words, it's not the point of whether specifically Yerecha, that always there's a question if there's some way to account for the dam on the aid So it took something else besides being checked directly. It's a simple question. In all cases where an aide was not checked immediately and might have been exposed to don from another source, are we choshesh that the don that is now on the aide perhaps came from another source? Or do we say, since we established before the bedikah that there was definitely no don on it, we're not going to say if we have a choice between something which is very often, and it's common to find don, if the genitals are a mokum of don, as opposed to stam, there was an aid that was had touched the body somewhere, to say that the don came from elsewhere is what Rav is saying is not reasonable. So we follow the most mukzik mokum of don. Itmar nami omar Shmuel to me anida. Shmuel also agreed with Rav that it's not chosheshet, that it's mamish mea. V'chein morin be midrasha, the common psak halacha, the beta midrash is that she is tmeya nida. Itmar. How about the opposite case? Batka the aid she'eino badukla. How about if she checks an aid, using an aid that had not been recently checked? Most learn, in other words, it had once been established that it was clean, but she didn't check it immediately prior to bedika, and it didn't touch anywhere where dam afterwards, where dam would have been found. Hinichato bekufsa. She put it to a drawer. Ulamachar matzah alav dam, and then she finds dam on the aid. Omer Rav Yosef koya mavsh Rabbi Chia timei uleid ziknato tiher. Rav Chia's whole life used to be machmer on this, and towards the end of his life, he said it was tahar. Now, it's not clear to us what that means, because it could mean all of his life he used to be metamei vadai, similar to the Rav and Shmuel Psak in the other case of the Yurecha. And in his old age, he said, nah, it's only a suffix. Or it might have meant that in his earlier years, he thought it was a suffix, and in his old age, he said it's completely tahar. So this the Gemara wants to know. Iboilu. Hechi ka'amar, what did you mean? Did you mean that kol yamav timei mishum nida, that most of his life he thought that that was tameh, meaning vadai, ula'et ziknato tiher mishum nida, he didn't say it was dam any longer, but he said it's at least like a ketem, so that you have to be machmir mirabana. Odilma, perhaps the way to understand it is that kol yamav timei mishum ketem, ulei ziknato tiher totally. Or did he mean to say that all of his life he held that this was a suffix that you should be machmir on? And leit ziknuto, he said, look, if it hadn't been baduk, then why should you be choshesh at all? Very possible that this thing had dam on it before. Let's see if we could find out. Toshma. The Tanya, there's a braita that actually describes a discussion between Rebbe Chia and Rebbe on this issue. But kade eit sheino badukla, v'nichato bekufsa, ulamachar matza alav dam, Rebbe omer t'meya mishum nida, v'Rebbe Chia omer t'meya mishum keter. Now, so far, we don't know whether this is in the young age of Rebbe Chia or the old age of Rebbe Chia. Omala Rebbe Chia, iya tamodeh shetzricha kegris va'od. Certainly, Rebbe, you would be made that in order for us to be matamites, you would have to have larger than a shiur of kegris. Because since this was in a drawer, I mean, who's to say that the blood that you're looking at isn't the dam of a ma'akolet, of a kina? And up to a gris, that could be the explanation of the blood, and it's quite common. I mean, people bleed just from, crushing something on them. So how do you know it's not that? Clearly, the only halacha that this was tummy at all is if it's more than a gris. Amarlo, so Rebbe said to him, aval, of course, absolutely. Omarlo, so then Rav Chia said to him, ha! Im kein avadasi to keter. If that's the case, then you also aren't taking it seriously as a bedikah, because a bedikah would be any amount. You're saying it's a keter, basically. That's all I said. I said, tmeya mishum keter. How could you say that something should be tabe mishum nida, and at the same time say it has to be larger than a kegris? By definition, in other words, you're agreeing with me. The Rebbe Sof, our Rebbe said, why are those two things connected? Look, I certainly need to establish that it didn't come from Akina, but
Akina can't be Gris. Akina is less than a Gris.
Is a Gris or less? Here we're talking about more than a Gris. It's not common to find the size of a Gris dam from Akina. The Kima and Nafik Lamidam Acholit. But once I don't have to be choshish for that, then the only explanation that I have is that it was vada migufa ata at the time of the bedika. Once if it's at the time of the bedika, then it's not a keta. Now, in any event, when did this take place? This discussion. My love, bezikduto koi, habialduto timei mishum nida. So therefore, it must be that this took place at the time that he was older. Now, Rashi says the reason that the Gemara is making this assumption is because how would have he had the chutzpah to argue on Rebbe when he was younger? To which Tosfos says the Gemara is full of cases of Talmidim arguing on their teachers. What's the big deal? How would that be a proof? And therefore, there are two other explanations. The Rashbam's explanation is an interesting historical side, like that Rebbe Chia only would have met Rebbe when he was older, because Rebbe Chia originally learned in Bavel. So if it's describing an actual face-to-face conversation of Rebbe Chia and Rebbe, then by definition, it's Leizignusa because of his personal history. That's what Gemara says. Chazro v'nishtakeach, ala Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia came up after and was Miyasi Teir again. Remember, it's the famous Rebbe Chia that he says that I saw to it that the Torah wouldn't be forgotten. Okay, so then that's one approach. Another approach that Tosfos himself brings here, without attributing it to a particular one of the Baalei Tosfos, is from the language. The language of, ha! So you also say it's a ketem. You wouldn't have said that. You wouldn't have said, afata asito ketem. That language is between peers. He would have had to have been a Talmud Chover at least at that point. And because of that, it must be that it was Lietzik Duton. So from here we see that he was never Matayah completely, because even Beitzik Duton, he said that it was Tamei Mishum Ketem.
You have more blood coming out, not just at one time.
That's you're talking about nothing technical. This the description of Nida Ketem here is a technical description. Ketem is the word that is used for all tumeis derabbanan, where there was no hargosha, chashava hargosha, and therefore it has in it kulas that we don't have in a tuma that we call tumas nida, which is assumptive tuma diraisa. It's not talking about a state of nidas or a state of ketamim. That's a physical phenomenon. We're talking about the halakhic phenomenon. Halakhically speaking, Anita does not need to see a lot of dam. She can be metame with tipas dam kechardal, and she's tamei hashiva, and so she's called Anita. You're saying, well, but a doctor wouldn't say she's having her period. And fine, that may be. We're not talking about that phenomenon. We're talking about the halakhic phenomenon. So always we use the word that way. Mishum nida, mishum ketem. Okay, so Kamash Malan Shmamina, in other words, that Rebbe Chia was always at least Metami Mishum Ketem. In his earlier years, he was Metami Mishum Nida. Mishtabeach le Rebbe, le Rebbe Shmuel, bar Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chama bar Bisa, da Adam Gadol. Now, Rebbe was very taken with Rebbe Chama bar Bisa. He held him to be a big Talmud Chacham. And when he would meet Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, he would always tell him over nice things about what he heard from this Rebbe. He's an up-and-coming star, no question about it. So Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi said, okay, let me get my hands on him. If you get your hands on him, bring him to me. We'll put him through the ringer. Kiyasa. So when Rebbe Chama bar Bisa came and he brought him to Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi, Amar Leis, Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi says, look, I want to give you a test. So ask me something. So it was the way they gave tests in those days. For me to ask you something means nothing. I need to see the way you think. Ask me something. So Bormino Mills. So Bormino, he asked him, Botka be'etche eno badukla, v'inichato be'kufsa, Ulumachar matzah alav damma. We asked him this case. So Rabbi Yossi said to him, okay, whose approach would you like? My father's approach, k'divrei Abba Yemelecha. My father Rabbi Yossi's approach, o k'divrei Rabbi Yemelecha. Or should I tell you Rabbi's approach? Omar lo, so Rabbi Chama Barbisa tells Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi, tell me Rabbi's approach. K'divrei Rabbi Emeli. So Rabbi Shmuel said, humph, zeo shomrim alav da'am gadol? This is some smart guy. How does he ignore Rabbi Yossi, my father, and ask to hear something from Rebbe? Because Rabbi Yossi was certainly a much bigger Talmud Chacham than Rebbe, and there was a point at which he had actually been Rebbe's Rebbe. So why did he ask me to tell him over Rebbe? Rabbi Chama Barbisa Sava. Rabbi Chama Barbisa asks for Rebbe's approach, because he held that Rebbe was a Reish Matifta, v'shkicha rabbonim kameh, u'mechada de'shmaita said. He had much more interaction, he was the center of all the action, and because of that, the normative halacha will end up reflecting Rebbe's experience. So he wanted to know, I mean, how do we work it out? But meanwhile, by the way, what was he referring to? We never heard of two approaches on this circuit. My Rebbe, my Rebbe Yossi. What was the difference between Rebbe's approach on the Nachato B'Kufsa and Rebbe Yossi? Omer of Ada Bar Masna, Tana Rebbe Mitameh v'Rebbe Yossi Mitaher. The Braisa said that in this case Rebbe was Mitameh, but Rebbe Yossi was Mitaher. And Rebbe Zera explained, Kishetimeh Rebbe k'Rebbe Meir, or Kishetiher Rebbe Yossi latzmotiher. Actually, Rebbe was simply following the approach of Rebbe Meir, which of course was where he had derived the halacha. When Rebbe Yossi was Mataher, he was following his own chiddush in this thing. D'tanya, ha'isha sh'aita osa tzracheha, v'ra'at adam, a woman who is urinating and finds dam in her urine. So Rebbe Meir omer, im omedet tmei'ah, im yoshevet tehora. Rebbe Meir says it depends on her position at the time that she was urinating. If she is standing, then because of the pressure, it was difficult for the urine to exit, because her legs weren't apart, and therefore it is possible that what happened here is that there was enough urine that was being held in place that it actually touched the area of where she would have had dam, so touched the area, therefore the inner part of the vagina, and brought along some dam with it, and now that's the dam that we're finding in the urine. However, if she was Yoshevet, there's no reason for us to assume that the urine came into contact in any way with blood that had come from the uterus, and therefore, undoubtedly, she has a urinary infection, and the blood is from the urine itself, and therefore she's tahora. Rabbi Yossi Omer, bein kach u bein kach tahora. So what do we see here? We see that where we have a way of attributing a dam to something which is unlikely, but we could work it out, so then according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to be machmer, and according to Rabbi Yossi, we're not machmer. That seems to be the same question we have over here. We have a suffix in either event. We're going to say what's most likely. So Rebbe says, look, I mean, we know that she used this cloth and she had used it to be bodekas atzma. Problem is the cloth had been not checked recently. It may well have been open to other influences. Same thing is true over here. She may have a urinary infection. But because of the circumstances that she urinated standing, it's similar to the circumstances of having used an H.A.N.O. Baduk to be bodekat herself. And there's very often dam now in her bodika, just as over here where the urine would have now been pushed into the vagina, there may have been some blood that was in it. That's very similar to this case. Rabbi Yossi says it's such a case, you don't have to be choshesh.
It won't make a tame.
It won't make a tame, because I mean, there's no, we know that there could be, even when we have two possible sources, We look at what's right in front of us. Where did it come from? So we always assume that she has a urinary infection. In which case, now, in the previous, the Kufsa case, of the aid in the Kufsa, we would say the same thing. Omer le Rav Acha b'rei d'rov al Rav Ashi. V'omer Rav Yossi, oops, I'm sorry, Rav Yossi Rav Benkach u Benkach Tehora. Omer le Rav Acha b'rei d'rov al Rav Ashi. V'omer Rav Yossi Rav Chanina k'shetime Rav Yimer lo time ala mishum keta. Hold on a minute, this doesn't work. We learned that Rabbi Meir, when he was Matame, the urine case, is only Mishum Ketam, is only a Darabonim, because we don't say that there was a Hargosh over there. Whereas Rabbi, in the case of the aid that was Munach Bakufsa, Rabbi said that she's Tameah, that could only mean Tameah Mishum Nida. Because, I mean, the reason that he's saying it's Tameah is because we're assuming that the Dam came from the Badika Le'achar HaTashmish. So how do you say that this is Rebbe following Rebbe Meir? It doesn't make sense at all. Who's to say that Rebbe Meir ever would have been machmir to say in a case like the Kufsa that it would have been Tamei Mamish Midiraisa? Omar le anan achika amrina. The reason I say it is because I had a different girsa in the quote that you just reported from Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina. According to me, what Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina said was ki itmar yi mishum nida itmar. That actually the case of Rav Yosef Rav Chanina was that it was tamei mishum nida, not mishum keta. In which case, we will have to say that a third case where it is possible to find dam without a hargosha and yet be choshesh, that there was a hargosha, that it's tamei diuraita, would be a case of urination. So in other words, Ebedika, which is penetration, Tashmish, which is penetration, or urination, which is coming from inside, can be confused with the Hargasha of the flow of Dam. And therefore, those three cases, we will always have a Chashash of a Tumah D'Oraisa, even though the woman cannot say that she recalls having detected any flow of Dam, which is the lowest level of Hargasha, by the way. We'll see. I mean, Mahalok, there's different levels of Hargasha. The question is whether just the flow of Dam really is Hargasha Midiraisa, where there needs to be a sense of an internal change, not just something moist coming out.
Did we have this earlier?
I don't, not in the Gemara. I mean, you may have discussed it.
One source or two sources? And, I thought that issue, this issue of the feeling differentiated was brought up earlier than one. Never mind.
It could be that you discussed it. So it's very possible.
Could the Rebbe clarify what makes a woman tame? Is it the flow of dam?
No. Dam that makes her tame for her husband. Again, there's two levels of tumah. Mm-hmm. There's tumah of dam, and there's the tumah of something that makes her tame for her husband. The material, the same thing happens, by the way, with semen. Semen itself is not tame, as we just said earlier. The only semen that is tame is where it came out with an orgasm. It was as be Yirgish Kol Gufo. By an Isha, Dam is not itself Batana. At least not her husband. So it would have to come out with a sensation. The level of that sensation is a Machlok is actually Rishonim, what level we'll consider to be a level of Hargosha. But when it comes out Stam, when we discover that there was vaginal bleeding of some kind, then again, when I say bleeding, it has to mean uterine bleeding. Not, in other words, any dam that is coming from a source that is not part of the menstrual cycle, such as a scratch of some kind or an infection of some kind, is definitely not metame. Because we know what its source is. The only dam that would be metame, even latiris, would be dam that's coming from the rechem. But dam that's coming from the rechem is also not metame, a husband. Unless it's part of a cycle in which she's margisha. She senses that flow of dam. What the level of sensation is, that we'll discuss later on, but it's not yet nogea ar sugya. Now the next thing that the Mishnah says was nimtza shela ot yom tmeim. So the Mishnah essentially gives three separate stages, correct? If it was ot yom, instant, whatever that means, then it's metame vadai, and it's mechayev karbon. If it's Liachar Zman all the way at the end, then it's like anybody else. And it's like you should have found Dam at one point. She's Metamin Yes Lies. Machlokas, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Akiva, whether this is Nogeir husband, or it's only Nogeir tyrants. It's the middle stage that we haven't so well defined yet. In this middle stage, we say that indeed she would be Metame, Ezbaela, Mitzarasav. That's not a machlokas now between the Rabbonin and the Chachamim. So let's go through now the way in which we define these three times. I mean, obviously, we're not going to say any Isha that was Mishameshet and checks herself 3 months later is going to be Metame Misafik. That's absurd. So what exactly are the three times? What is considered to be the Otyom, the immediate? What is considered to be Li'achar, the Otyom? And what is considered to be La'achar, the Achar of the Otyom, when she just becomes like anybody else? So Tamar Rabbanan Ezeu Shiur Veset, Mashal L'Shamash Ve'ed She'omdim B'Tzad HaMashkov. Again, we're using something of a euphemism. Because we know that we call a penis a shamish. Shamish could also mean a servant. But tashmish, of course, also means shimush. Aid, again, means in a euphemistic way a person that's made. But it's also a reference to a piece of cloth that's being used to check. Tzad HaMashkof, we'll see later on that the Gemara compares the genital area exactly. To different areas of a doorway entering into a building and a prose door into that building and so on and so forth. So using that euphemism, what we can say is that we have over here, the shamash is inside the building, so to speak. The aid is outside the building. They're both standing at the mashkof, in other words, right at the entry to the vagina. And now, the moment that the shamash leaves, mitziyat shamash, nichnas aid. That's the shira veset. So in other words, she is waiting to check herself instantly. And anything beyond that would be too much time. And now it would be a suffix. In which case, by definition, have a veset sha'amru, the kinuach, avalola bedika. By definition, you cannot be ever discussing a true bedika. Because a true bedika means an actual penetration of the aid and getting into all nooks and crannies to make sure that there's no dam, there wouldn't be time for that. That would already be beyond the shiur of the otyom. This definition means that otyom is always not a bedika, but rather a kinuach. Those two words are very important words, because when it comes to Hilchas Nida throughout, there's going to be major differences, lahalacha, between kinuach and bedika. The reason is very simple. A bedika can be confused with a feeling of dam. A kinuach, simply wiping the outside, cannot be. So dam that's found by kinuach will always be a ketem, whereas dam that's found with a bedika would be actual nidot, to all of the difference between them.
So the reason it can't be a bedika is just because it's the time.
There's no time. Simply is no time. But in this case, of course, a kinuach is equivalent to a bedika. Because the tashmish itself would have covered over the sensation of the bleeding. That's why she's confused. She doesn't know that she bled.
And the aid, does it work inside? You don't insert the aid?
There's no time. You would, but then that wouldn't be otyom. If you want to see that there was blood here instantly, then you don't have time to do a full bedika.
Why do you need that instantly?
You don't need it. It's a question of what was done.
So she knew exactly when it was going to happen.
Because she was waiting. She had the aid in her hand.
As soon as
he removed himself, she checked herself. She wiped herself. At that moment, there was dime. So then we have to assume that that was actually felt, b'shas tashmish, and now she discovered it here.
And we assume hargasha.
And we're matamah, because we're assuming hargasha, exactly. Because we're matamah him, as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a bo'ol nida. He would be Tamei, perhaps, but he wouldn't be a Baal Nida unless it was an actual Dan that she was a Markisha. Nimtza Shalo Liachar Zman, if it's beyond that, so then already it's only Tamei Misafik. Tana, now in the Brice it says that when you're Tamei Misafik, it's Chiyav of Nashim Tolui. Whereas our Mishnah seems to imply that it's potter completely. Now, why is that? How come it doesn't say over here, Chayavim Mishum Asham Tamri? Now, Tosis points out it's not 100% clear that the Mishnah is saying you're not Chayavim Asham Tamri. Because the Mishnah just says you don't bring a Chatas. It doesn't say you don't bring an Asham Tamri. It's just Mashman that would have said it. The reason that Tosis has to say that is because elsewhere the Gemara tries to bring a Raya back, we had back in Croesus, tries to bring a Raya about whether you'd be Chayav and Asham Tamri in this case, and does not bring our Mishnah to say that you're Potter. So apparently the Mishnah is not absolutely Machria. But assuming that our Tana means Kipshutai, that there's no Chayav and Asham Tamri, why is that my Tana? Because our Tana holds Bi'inan chaticha mishtei chatichot. You remember that there was a machlokas how to read achat mikom mitzvot Hashem. Do we go according to the way it's written, which is mitzvot Hashem, or do we go according to the way it's pronounced, which is mikom mitzvot Hashem? If it's according to the way it's pronounced, so then you would have to have two pieces here. One which was, let's say, an Isha that was Tahira, and an Isha that was Tameya, and he doesn't recall with whom he slept. Or in the case of eating, you have a piece of chalev and a piece of kosher. And he ate one, he doesn't know which one he ate. That's the only time you're chayav, an Asham Tamri, because it has to be achat mi mitzvot. So this is how our Tana holds. So since over here we only have one individual, we can't say that it's chaticha mishtei chatichot. Ezeru achar zman. Now, isn't this a problem from the Braisa of Raminhi? Ezeru achar zman, in the Braisa it explains that Pirish Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok, Kidei shetoshit yada tachat hakar o tachat hakesef, v'titol eid v'tivdok bo. It says that the shear of Acherzman is so that she should put her hand underneath her pillow, or underneath the blanket, take the aid that she had prepared, and go and do a bedika with it. Now, most learn that this word, go and do a bedika, is very misleading, you will see why. And it doesn't mean literally a bedika, it means a wife. So now, you said in the Mishnah that the shear is to take her legs off of the bed, to be sitting on the bed now, and then to wipe herself, right? So this is not the same thing. Rav Chista said, Rav Chista, wait. There's two stages. When it says in the Mishnah, Acher, and it said over there it needed for her to get off the bed, that was actually the shear of Acher Acher. Remember, we have the shear of Ot Yom. We have the shear of Acher Ot Yom, where there's still a suffix, and we're Metame Yimitz out of suffix. And then there's the shear of Acher, the Acher Ot Yom, which is where she goes back to being like anybody else, and is like a woman who's Metame Yimitz Lies, and found on at some point not associated with Tashmish. That was the Mishnah was talking about a later shear. In other words, once she's already hit the point where she could have been sitting on the bed and cleaning herself, at that point she's already, beyond that, she's already like anybody else. So she would be only Mitami Mies Lies. Yes, the Gemara, I don't understand. How could you say that? I mean, it's all part of the same description in the Mishnah. It says, Katani Allah, Nimsa al Shalah, Le'achazman, Tmeim Yisafik. Please tell me what mistake I'm making. The Mishnah says clearly, Li'achar Zman it's Tmeim Yisafik, Ubeturim in Akarban, and then it says, Beferush, Ve'ezel Achar Zman, what do I mean when I say Li'achar Zman? Now, I don't understand. Isn't that what it's saying? What do I mean when I say Li'achar Zman that is Tmeim Yisafik, that it would be now Beturim in Akarban, Kidei Sheteret Min Amitavet Adiakpanea, I don't understand. It's saying the Farish, that the measurement of time two is this. Time one is Ot Yom. Time two is sitting at the edge of the bed now. So what exactly, beyond that is time three. So what I don't understand what you're saying. So what was this other case of Rabbi Elazar Tzadik, to take an aid from under the pillow and to check without getting off the bed? Where does that come in? No, the point is like this. Look, Ezel Acher Zman, Kedei Shetoshit Yadav Atachat Akar Atachat Akeset V'Titol, There were two points that were mentioned here. There was the beginning and end of the time. So what it's saying in the Mishnah is anything beyond the shiur of Ot Yom. And how much is that? From the time where she can be toshit yada tachataka o tachata keset v'titol eid v'tiv dokpo, that is all the shiur of Ot Yom. That moment begins the next level. Then that's the third time. That's the end of the second period. And then it's a machloket Rabbi Akiva v'chachomi. That's the point. So in other words, immediately, and here's the problem, if you use the word bedika, then that would mean that included in the shiur of Ot Yom is a bedika. And the Gemara said before that you can't do a bedika in the shiur of Ot Yom. Now this relates to, and that's why many take out the word tivdok. You say that tivdok doesn't literally mean tivdok, it means tadiyak. But there's another machlokas. Are these times the end of the previous time or the beginning of the next time? If they're the beginning of the next time, then the Kadesh Tikach v'Tivdok is already Tameh Misafik. So indeed, there would be no way to do a Bedika Ot Yom. Then, beyond this, if it takes longer than that. So the Rush says, what would be the point of mentioning three times? Just say beyond that. Because it's trying to show how really exact we're talking. We're talking about seconds of difference, which we usually don't do in things that can't be measured clearly. Mm-hmm. But since over here this was the takana legabe achatas, the Mishnah wants you to know how carefully you need to. Don't say she made a bedika quickly. What is that supposed to mean? We're talking about really. You got to know it makes a difference whether it was enough time to sit at the edge of the bed. Or there wasn't. And that would be a separate time. I'm not just going to tell you beyond that. You see how Menduyak is the time. Then already it's about Kodesh Rabbi Akiva v'Chachomi. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not trying to be obtuse, but I mean, the Mishnah says the word achar kach. It says achar kach betam mi es lies, right? So I don't understand. Achar kach means after the time that's mentioned in the Mishnah. The time that's mentioned in the Mishnah is where she's sitting at the edge of the bed now. So then you said that time was already the Acher Acher. And here it says the Acher Kach, meaning only after that time. So that means that there was no, it was the second time, and now after that time is the third time. So how do you get now yet a fourth time with Rabbi Elazar? No. The way to understand is Hakikamah. The Zehu Acher Kach, not and after that time when she's sitting at the edge of the bed, rather, if she's now Yoredet Ben Amitah, then that is the Acher Kach, where now she's like anybody else, she's Matame Mies Lies, and we have a Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim, which is a standing Machlokas about any Sheretz Matame Mies Lies, is she Matame et Bo'ala or not? Ravashi says, I have a simple solution for you, gentlemen. There's no machlokas over here. It's exactly the same shear. The case that Rabbi Elazar is talking about is clearly where she was not holding an eight in her hand. So he's saying, if she has to take the eight from under the pillow, then there's not enough time for her to get off of the bed. The case of the Mishnah is talking about she's holding the eight. So she swings off the bed and then wipes herself. It's exactly the same thing. That amount of time of looking for the eight under the pillow or getting off of the bed is the same time. And they're just talking about different circumstances, that's all. So actually, if the woman is holding the eight, so then the shear that is the second period is Kadesh Tereid Min Hamita. Beyond that, it's already Machlokes Rabbi Akiva v'Chachomi. Ein eight biyada, Kadesh Toshit Yada, L'tachat HaKar, or L'tachat HaKeset. Now she has to take the eight. That amount of time now took up the time that would normally have been used to get off the bed. Now she can't get off the bed. So at that point, v'tiv dogbo, anything beyond that becomes now the Acher Kach. And that becomes the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Pleasure to be back home. Pleasure to be back with you.